I might go for the shepherd's pie. Anybody ever heard of Tom Brady? That night, I might be so sick that I might not be able to stomach a big Storm Reuben.
Buccaneers fans, it's that time. Time for the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, the Custodian of Canton, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Newport Richie himself, Ira Kaufman on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. He's been covering the NFL since 1952. Ira, how are you? It is so great to talk to you. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. For those new to the podcast, Lee Dekemper of Joe Bucks Fan is here, and it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford. Time out for payments going on right now. No payments for up to 90 days for all new Ford vehicles, which are eligible. Exciting times. Of course, they've always got their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles with GM Sean Sullivan ready to help you 24/7 every way he can. Ira, good to see you. We got some fun things to talk about, but how's it going? You getting out on the town now?
Well, Stevie, you know, speaking of Bill Curry Ford, I am doing this podcast from the front seat of my cherry red 2020 Ford Escape. I got the Bluetooth going. My dashboard reads 73 degrees. Lee, I don't put my bun warmers on till it hits 70. That's my cutoff. So no bun warmers tonight. I am speaking to you gentlemen from the plush 2020 Ford Escape. We love this car. And speaking of Sean Sullivan, Steve, I got a little advice for you spring breakers. If I know Sullivan like I think we do, he's always got an initiative. He's probably got some kind of a spring break initiative. So my advice to you teeny boppers that came down from Vermont or New Hampshire or Jersey, forget about Clearwater Beach. It's too crowded anyway. I saw the traffic. It's brutal. Instead, make your way up to Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium, east side of Dale Mabry. The better your tan, the better your deal will get. BillCurryFord.com.
Ira, you're one of a kind, man. Hey, did your wife kick you out? Is that why you're in the car? You got to answer that one at least.
It was a contributing factor. It was a contributing factor. Cosmo didn't want me around. More importantly, the missus said, hey, you going to do that podcast with those two characters? Take it outside. So here I am, Steve.
Classic. Absolutely classic. Ira, let me ask you this to kick it off here. J.J. Watt, $31 million, two-year deal. He's coming off not a lot of production as far as sacks go. And, of course, he's had an injury history, though he was healthy last year. But J.J. Watt clearing 2 years, $31 million. What does Shaq Barrett think when he sees that? What do you think that did to the market, if anything?
I'm not sure it's going to have a direct impact, Steve, because you're talking about a three-time defensive player of the year. The guy's going to Canton. I don't know if it'll be first ballot, but he's going to Canton, and deservedly so. 5 years, you know, the guy was the best defensive lineman in football before Aaron Donald came around and took his title. So you can't knock what the guy did, but he's a shell of himself. So if Shaq Barrett says to Jason Light, hey, I'm a better player than J.J. Watt is, Jason Light says, not my problem. I think Arizona was crazy to give him the money. But you're getting your $17 million, Shaq, and you're going to like it. You know, it reminds me of one thing, Steve, and it's something that Bruce Arians said to all of us on a Zoom call a week ago. We were talking to him about free agency in general, and, you know, Lee said this many times on a podcast. You know, yeah, the guy wants to go to a winning team. Yeah, he wants to play with this player, this coach. But Bruce Arians said, most of the time, gentlemen, it's the money. And, Steve, we just got reminded of that once again.
Lee, what do you think? Any impact there, you think, from that J.J. Watt contract, or just a big nothing on the radar?
I don't know. I'm not sure. And the reason why I say that is, you think of J.J. Watt, most people think of the 2014 version of J.J. Watt.
Right.
J.J. Watt's
right.
Been a shell of himself the last 5 or 6 years. He's been brittle. I think only twice, and one of those times was this past season. I think twice in the past 5 years, maybe 6 years, he's only played in eight games. I mean, played at least eight games. He's always been hurt. Now, again, last year, maybe, I don't know if that was a fluke. I don't know if finally his back was healthy. I'm not sure. But now also I'm not sure, but I can't remember if it was pressures or hurries. He was right there with Shaq as far as the number of pressures or the number of hurries, one of the two. I'm talking like J.J. Watt was like fourth and Shaq was fifth, something like that. They were very close. I'm trying to figure out the logic of the Cardinals doing that. You'd think they'd keep Reddick, who's significantly younger, and they invested in the guy. I mean, they drafted him. But I don't know how much of an effect it will be, but there's no question Shaq deserves $16, $17 million. There's no doubt about it.
Steve, could this be an indication that Chandler Jones is now available? He's a heck of a pass rusher.
Yeah, he is.
I would think you get J.J. Watt to pair him with Chandler Jones. You know, it's sort of, you know, that's going to take some pressure off Watt, who didn't really have that guy opposite him in recent years.
Maybe.
Watt was an all-pro in 2018, so he's not really that far off from greatness, though his durability is in question at all times. But I just figured I had to ask you that just because, you know, the decision time is coming. We're about a week away from teams having to make that call on their franchise tags. I believe as we record tonight, nobody has slapped the franchise tag across the league yet. And some of that might be because they're waiting to see what the actual salary cap is going to be. So it's a weird year for that. They've had some advisement, but, you know, it's nice to have an exact number before you throw a tag at somebody. And that brings me to this, Ira. You know, the word is that the NFL is negotiating with the union to have no OTAs this year. And, you know, as part of their working out the finality of the salary cap, because the union has to approve a change. So no OTAs this year. If they do that and players just basically check in online and report in July, how does that change free agency, Ira? Because it's not COVID. It's not that kind of thing. But, you know, maybe a guy like Bruce Arians, he doesn't want a free agent in here necessarily if he's got to bring the guy in July. And we know Arians hates Zoom, and he knows he's got all his assistant coaches back, and his own players know the system, and he's not going to walk them through the defense, and it might be harder to break in a free agent. How does all that factor in with what the Bucs want to do, and how do you think that fits?
Well, Steve, on paper, you know, some of the points you made might be valid in terms of how Arians sees, hey, let's not bring in too many free agents. They're behind the eight ball. I can't get them in here in June. I got to wait till August. But, Steve, on the other hand, and you have to look at it through Arian's prism, look what happened last year. I mean, Tristan Wirfs, Lee, we're all in agreement. The guy was the best, rookie offensive lineman in the National Football League, maybe one of the five or ten best, you know, offensive linemen, period, in the National Football League. No OTAs, Lee, hit training camp. You know, a truncated training camp, not a heavy workload in camp. And Lee hits the ground running. Now, you could argue, well, not everybody's a Tristan Wirfs. He's a rare breed. And I understand that. But, Lee, the same thing happened to Antoine Winfield. You know, put in a very strong rookie season. Gronkowski got the job done. And, of course, you got Brady. So, Lee, in that regard, from a Buck perspective, they kind of got away with it last year. They're holding up the Vince Lombardi trophy as a result, and that's a team that didn't have any OTAs. Look, there's only one Tom Brady, Lee. I understand that. But I'm not sure that it is going to stop. Say Levante David is allowed to test free agency and somebody throws him some money, which, Lee, you think they will do, like the Dolphins or some team like that, and he leaves. I don't think the fact that there may not be OTAs, I don't think that's going to stop the Bucs from signing a veteran inside linebacker to pair with Devin White this fall. I don't see that, Lee.
To me, the linebacker, that's a different subject matter. But, I mean, what's Aaron's going to do? Start stomping his feet like Mike Ditka did? Wasn't Mike Ditka coach the Bears when free agency came around? And he refused, absolutely refused to have any free agents. And the Bears went downhill and everybody else, you know, stepped ahead of the times. So unless Arians is going to pull a Ditka and refuse to adapt, and then the rest of the NFL, you know, the rest of the NFL is going to go after free agents. But unless Arians is going to do that, which I don't think Arians is that not headed. He's got no leg to stand on. There, you know, the Glazers are light will come up Arians like, Bruce, you won a freaking Super Bowl with a free agent quarterback who didn't come in until stinking August. Give me a break.
And Steve, you know who loves this? Bruce Arians. He gets another 22 rounds of golf in at the lake house. Steve, he don't mind it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm just kind of thinking. If does it make the Bucks more eager to sign their own free agents, because then it just makes life a lot easier for Arians? I don't know. Even around the league, certain teams might be like, ah, crap, you know, this guy wants to play on a one-year deal, but we can't get him in till whenever. And that's why I wanted to ask the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. That's why I had to ask you that.
Steve, I think they got so much confidence in this coaching staff, and in large part for good reason, because they did a fantastic job last season in bringing young players around and maximizing their potential. And I think the Glazers agree. This is one hell of a coaching staff. And we think we can take these guys, you know, July 30th and work with them for 6 weeks. And we will be ready for the regular season.
So, Sage, Mary Kay Cabot covers the Browns. She's been doing it forever. Is she a Hall of Fame voter? I think she is. Right?
I believe she is. Yes, I believe she is.
Impeccable reputation. And she threw out there that the Browns are going hot and heavy is their plan to go after Lavonte David. And I thought it was interesting, nobody really mentioned it, but also going after Breshad Perriman, a guy who previously played for the Browns. That was the two names she put out there.
And, oh, yeah, he did play for the Browns, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, he played for the Browns, came to the Bucks, and then Jets, and then I guess apparently back to the Browns. They want him back. But, Sage, I ask you this. So she sort of put it out there that the Browns, you're looking to break the bank for Lavonte David. And why does she put it out there? How does that happen? Explain to us why that happens. I don't think she's somebody who would just be duped by an agent or is interested in making a reputation for herself. She already has that. So how does that kind of information come out? Why do you think she put it out there? Do you think it's real? And what can you tell us about that?
Well, she obviously got it from a source that she believes in. That could be a team source. It could be. Although I doubt that they would put that out there. Why would they want competition? Why would they want that information out there? Normally, Steve, you would say it's Lavonte David's agent, the agency that represents him, that wants to drum up interest, which may be legitimate. In Lavonte David, should he hit free agency? It also turns the heat up, Lee, on Jason Light. Hey, get this thing done, because if our guy hits free agency, you might as well kiss him goodbye. We've already got one interested suitor in the Browns. So she just didn't make it up, Lee. She's too good a journalist. It's out there from somebody. And I got to think that it could be a combination of a team official speaking to her off the record and Lavonte David's handlers, because I think if she heard it from a team official, Lee, I think she'd go right to Lavonte David's agent and run it past him. Lee, it's no surprise teams, good teams like the Browns, who played the Chiefs pretty tough in the playoffs, they made a game of it, would be interested in Lavonte David. What would be a surprise is if, you know, a team like Jacksonville or something like that that's going nowhere, spinning their wheels, if they had a lot of interest in Lavonte David. But we'll see. It's not beyond the realm that Lavonte David doesn't come back to the fold this fall. I would be tempted to give him a one-year deal, Lee, but he might not take it. They're not going to franchise him, I don't think, because that tag's going to be used somewhere else. Lee, in that respect, Lavonte David's got some leverage here.
Yeah, he's got some leverage, no doubt. There's going to be suitors out there. And, you know, the Bucks, and I guess you could say other teams, you got to be careful because it's 31. And I'll catch hell for saying this. I don't think he was the old Lavonte David last year. He was good, very good. But to me, Lavonte David was top three, top four linebacker in the league. I don't know if you could say that last year. Now, maybe that was Devin White playing that much better. That could be. He's 31, and I don't, you know, there's not a whole lot of highly paid linebackers at, say, 34. So yeah. I think this is his last chance to get that big payday. I mean, he already got one for the Bucks, obviously. I think he knows it, and his agent knows it. This is the last big payday. Man, I hate to see him go. But I'm like you. It wouldn't shock me. And by the way, with Mary Kay Cabot, you know, I think the world of her. I think she's fantastic. And she referred to the source as leak source, which is what makes me think that it was his agent.
These things, Steve, they tend to have a life of their own. You know how these stories get picked up. These sites have space to fill every day. Every day.
Well, Ira, you can fill your website without making stuff up. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm not talking about Mary Kay Cabot. I'm talking about how these things have a life of their own once Mary Kay Cabot reports it.
Oh, I see. I mean, it blows up. Yeah, yeah.
And the next thing you know, here comes Rappaport. And here comes
Ira. The funny thing is, you know, as you sit outside in your car, banished from your home that you've been living in for 53 years, you're the original resident of Newport Richey. You know, I'm thinking of tonight, it's obvious that you're going to be sleeping in the garage, and when you're tucked away in the back there and it doesn't smell right and you don't know what's going on, you look around and you see a big thing of mold, grab that cell phone, pick it up, and call Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration is the Tampa Bay area and beyond. It is the first call if you have any disaster in your home. Don't call your insurance company. Get a free assessment for them, Ira. They'll come right out to your garage. You'll just open the door. They'll get it all assessed. They'll use their thermal imaging cameras. Then they'll come inside. You'll put Cosmo away, and they'll let you know what's going on. They do that all across the Bay Area every single day. Don't be foolish. Don't panic. If you have any kind of issue in your home, call Florida's Elite Restoration. Enjoy the garage tonight, Ira.
You know, Steve, and our listeners need to know this. If you call them, it's going to turn out to be, you know, something minor. It's not going to cost you an arm and a leg, most likely. But the key is, if it's something minor, they're not going to try to tell you that it's something major. And that's the one fear that people have when they go to a car mechanic or something like that, that they're going to get ripped off. Josh, you know, hires good people around him. They're honest, and they'll give you a fair assessment.
Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira Lee, Raheem Nunez Roches, a free agent, not making a lot of money, defensive tackle. He's maybe a free agent nobody talks about, except he made 11 starts for the Buccaneers last year, 11 in the regular season. He started in the Super Bowl. The guy played an awful lot, was one of the anchors on the number one run defense in the NFL in just about every possible category. Devin White, before the Super Bowl, was asked by me, actually, who was his unsung hero, his guy he was most proud of behind the scenes on the Bucs defense that maybe doesn't get all the love. And he went right to this guy, Nunez Roches, who I have to assume, Ira, maybe I'm wrong, but I would think somebody around the league wants him to start a defensive tackle for them, and maybe he's willing to pay him $4 or $5 million instead of him making less than $2 million last year. So where do the Bucs stand with that guy, who obviously I think they could have won the Super Bowl without him, but a valuable piece there? And what do you think?
The first thing I think is he did a nice job. And Lee, another example, yet another, of a young player developed by Arians' coaching staff. I mean, the list is long. It is a lengthy list. You know, a year ago, the guy's an afterthought. Yeah, you know, give Vea a breather. But he got called on this year. Vea had a serious injury, major injury. Knocked him out. Long period of time. Didn't come back till the end of the year. The guy filled in very nicely. And Lee, you know, interior defensive lineman, you think run defense. And we got to say, the rush defense looked pretty darn strong with him playing a lot of snaps. Lee hits the free agent market. He's young enough. I think he's going to be in for a nice little payday. He's not going to break the bank, but I think he could be a useful player for somebody.
Oh, sure. There's no question about that. Now, let's not get ahead of ourselves and start acting like this guy's next Warren Sapp. He did a nice job against the run, but notice that teams didn't have to worry about double-teaming him when he did play. Also notice when he did play, JPP and Shaq were basically average players. Then Via comes in and they went wild.
Didn't you write the other week that that it's not true that Shaq Barrett was handled very easily in the games that Bea didn't play? Didn't you write that?
Yeah, you know, I'm not saying, you know, it sounds like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. I'm just saying that when Via was in there, they didn't have to double team this Roaches. And so the point of the article about Shaq was, I was reading comments on JoeBuckSan.com where they basically, if Shaq leaves, so what? He couldn't do anything without Via. I'm like, wait a minute here. And I went and I did the research and I looked it up. You know, Shaq was, I want to say, fifth in the league. Unfortunately, when I'm doing this podcast, I can't sit in front of a computer because I got to have my fan on. And the fan's too loud. So, and my chair squeaks too much. So, I want to say Shaq was fifth in the league in quarterback pressures. That includes hurries. That includes hits. And he led the league in hurries. So the people that were suggesting, you let Shaq go, so what? Levante David's more important. Shaq didn't do anything unless Via was in there. When Via came in there, Shaq was a monster in sacking the quarterback. But he was getting after the quarterback even without Via. So, you know, the notion that Shaq is replaceable is baloney. Or as our good friend, the late, great Steve Dumas would say, bull spit.
Bull spit. You know, Steve, Lee and I, we're in total agreement on Shaq Barrett and his value. And, you know, I'm not suggesting, Steve, that a hurry is as valuable as a sack. I mean, that would be silly. I mean, a sack means it's second and 18 or it's third and 17. And those are drive killers for the most part, 80% of the time. But, Steve, that doesn't mean hurries aren't important. They are. And just ask Carlton Davis and Antoine Winfield and Whitehead how important hurries are in terms of trying to clamp down on targets. So it all works together. Hurries are important, Steve. It means you're getting a guy off the spot. It means you're making the guy throw before he has to. And that's the way you play pass defense in the modern age of football. If you don't have that, you cannot be an effective pass defense. Can't do it.
Sage, just to close out Nunez Roaches here. Again, 11 starts, starter in the playoffs. Made $1.5 million last season. Is he out of here?
I think he's gone because they drafted a defensive tackle in the late rounds last year, and I think they feel they can nurture that guy and bring him along. I would say he's gone. They've got so many other guys ahead of him on the pecking order. Steve, you know, he's a player that might want to hit free agency and see what's out there.
Real quickly, just for the folks who don't realize that Ira's talking about Khalil Davis, last year's sixth-round pick, who did play a little bit in the playoffs, actually made a couple of plays before that, so that's who you're talking about. Go ahead, Lee.
Guy from Nebraska, yeah. Here's something I thought was interesting. I read today. Now, she's a stat geek. I'm convinced she doesn't watch games. She just goes by whatever her computer pumps out, whatever software she uses. But she had an interesting point today. She is Cynthia Freeland, NFL.com, NFL Network. She, and of course, this is like just throwing darts at a board. But he's a defensive tackle from Washington that opted out of the season because of the COVID. Okay. This guy was apparently supposed to be some kind of stud, and because he opted out and there's no game tape from his last year in college, you know, he's probably going to drop.
That's Levi Onwuzurike.
She's suggesting this guy the Bucks are going to draft to replace Sue. If Sue doesn't leave now, he'll be leaving in a year or two. This will be Sue's replacement. Well, from what you guys are talking about with this Roaches guy, Nachos guy leaving, this makes more sense that they would draft a defensive tackle. Yeah, I know they got this guy from Nebraska. I don't think anybody expects him to start. He's a backup. Right. This guy from Washington, she's Cynthia Freeland, suggests the Bucks are going to get this guy at number 32. And that would be smart if he could be a part-time player. Then when Sue leaves, he could take Sue's spot. So Very interesting.
Two quick points, Steve. One, you mentioned Perryman, Steve, a few minutes ago. I don't think it would be shocking if Godwin leaves, and I'm not saying he will. I'm not saying he will. But if he does, Steve, I don't think it would be crazy to think that Perryman could be back as a Buccaneer. I don't think that's crazy as a replacement.
Ira, I think that's insane. Absolutely insane. I'll tell you why. If Godwin's gone, Antonio Brown's coming back. There's no doubt about it. So you're not going to sign Brown and Perryman.
Well, here's why I doubt that, Ira. I see what you're saying. Okay, outside receiver. Well, Godwin plays a lot of slot, and that's the reason why they let Humphreys go. Arians wanted Godwin in the slot. I don't think Perryman can play slot because he's got to be able to block. He's got to be able to do inside. Perryman's more like a Scotty Miller kind of guy. So that's why I would cast doubt on it. Not that I understand where you're going. Perryman's been in the offense before. He knows the offense. He knows a lot of the teammates. He could probably be an easy fit. However, to replace Godwin, replacing Antonio Brown, maybe, yeah. But Godwin, I don't know about that.
Well, I'm not saying he can't play the slot, but I don't know how much I want to rely on Antonio Brown, gentlemen. I just don't know. If Godwin leaves, you know, and there's Antonio Brown. And Steve, I'm not sure he's over his legal issues. I don't think he is.
He's not. He's not. And I think we all would pick somebody else. Hey, they rolled the dice with Brown. They won. Take your winnings. Leave the casino. Get out of there. Let him go. Let him go play for you know, the Rams or something. And let's get out of here. No, he's not over his legal troubles. And you know, I don't really want to see him back. But Tom Brady has a say in what goes on there. And if you lost Godwin, you're going to look Brady in the face and say, hey, we're not paying Brown, when Brady's going to say, I'll vouch for the guy. Look, you know, he's a model citizen. Let me throw this out there, guys. I was going to maybe save this for later in the week, but I'll throw it out here now. Outside linebackers coach Larry Foote was on a podcast recently, Ira, and he played for the Steelers. He was a former teammate of Antonio Brown, and he played for Arians in Arizona and then retired and went right into coaching for Arians. Foote, who's 40 years old, admitted that, hey, man, I was wondering, thinking twice when we signed Antonio Brown. And he talked about how Brown came in and, quote, changed the culture of the Bucs. And he went on and said, look, this guy, you don't understand, he practices so hard and has such a crazy practice regimen that once players started seeing what Brown was doing before practice, he said, next thing you know, a couple of guys are saying, hey, teach me this. Let me do this with you, this pre-practice routine. And next thing you know, there's 3 guys, 4 guys, 10 guys, including defensive players, all working out before practice with Brown. And Foote said, you know, when I saw what Brown was doing in his latest workouts before practice, he was thinking to himself, man, he's never going to be able to get through practice if he's doing that before practice to warm up, running 100-yard sprints and all this stuff. He said he totally changed the culture of practice at one Buck.
Let's not go off the rails here, gentlemen. We like to keep our feet on the ground on this podcast. And in this case, I want to keep my foot on the accelerator of my my cherry red Ford Escape. Change the culture. Anybody ever heard of Tom Brady? You know, if you're going to come up with a statement like that, I'm going to ascribe it to Tom Brady. This guy might have changed a couple of techniques, but I'm not willing to go the culture route over here. Let's not go overboard. By the way, I'm going to try to sneak in my other point before Isbit slams me over here over something else I said. Steve, when Lee was talking about drafting a defensive tackle possibly at the end of the first round, it reinforced, I don't think that's crazy, but Steve, to me, it reinforces what I think is a fundamental change for this franchise, at least as long as Brady is under center. And I think then it would shift markedly. But, Steve, I'll say it again. I said it last week. I'm not sure you agree with me. I believe this is the first time Jason Light is going into a draft, maybe the first GM of the Bucs that's going into a draft for a long, long time, without a crying need for a certain position or multiple positions. I really think they are wide open, Steve. I don't think they're locked into anything. And I don't think anything would shock us beyond maybe taking a quarterback with the 32nd pick. I wouldn't be sure. Maybe a tight end. That would be a little surprising, perhaps. But, Steve, it's wide open. And Jason Light likes to talk about best player available. Nobody ever believes him, and it's never true. I think it is true this year.
Very quickly, Ira, my first response would be, they really need some edge rush depth. Anthony Nelson got a couple of shots this year and didn't deliver, and there really is no edge rush depth. Who's the edge rush depth if JPP gets a high ankle sprain? I mean, you know, Vita Vea rushed off the edge three or four times in the Super Bowl. It's fun to watch. I'm not sure he's a good edge rusher long term, but they might be able to move some things around, but that's not your answer there. I think in this league, you need some edge rush depth, especially going to a 17-game season with JPP coming off knee surgery, and he's had some chronic knee issues.
Well, Steve, I think you're making my point for me in a certain way in terms of you're looking for a depth piece at a critical position. A year ago, they had to have a right tackle. They had to have a safety, and no coincidence which way they went. They happened to hit on both of them. So, you know, give Jason Light his due. He hit him. But, Steve, you're talking about a depth piece, you know, that can play 20 snaps a game and step in case of an injury. That's still a fundamental difference, Steve, than what's gone on here in the past.
I feel you.
And this is usually the case with every team. After free agency, you usually have a good idea where a team's going to look to draft early in the draft. If the Bucs lose Levante David, let's say, it would not shock me at all they draft an inside linebacker. And right. By the way, our good friend Sean Sullivan, the general manager at Bill Curry Ford, he's already screaming, there's this inside linebacker that plays at Missouri. He thinks he's going to be a late first-round pick. He's already got that guy circled if Levante David leaves.
Well, Lee, they could pick one up in free agency also, right, Lee? They could.
Well, two things there. In theory, I agree. That's number one. Number two, it's going to be a buyer's market for players. There'll be a lot of veterans out there that are going to be, you know, salary cap casuals because of this salary cap's a lot lower than people expected. However, the Bucs have so many of their own free agents to bring back, and Mike Florio's brought this up before as well, will the Bucs have any cash left over to actually go out and get someone else's free agent? Unlikely.
It's a good question, and Ira, the draft question is, bottom line, it's too tough to answer until we see what actually happens in free agency, but that, you know, that's what makes it all fun. But I agree with your premise, Ira. I'm not going to smack you around, not going to happen. I know you're sleeping in the garage tonight, so we're not going to go there. Let me remind everybody that Big Storm Beer, locally brewed in Clearwater, tap room in Odessa, right near you, Ira, not too far away. On Success Drive off State Road 54. Also got a big tap room down in Cape Coral, and Orlando is days away. Florida's best craft beer, Big Storm Beer. Get to bigstormbrewery.com. Look for it in stores. It's in fine establishments as well. And, of course, the tap rooms are loaded with A-plus food. Great place to be. Just great energy all the time and great beer. Everything from the Bromosa, the Tangerine IPA, to their classic Wavemaker Amber Ale, the Argus, so many great beers. BigStormBrewery.com. It will be the site in Clearwater at their 3,000-square-foot outdoor area. Going to be our draft party. It's going to be so much fun. Opening night of the draft, indoors, outdoors, fully covered. Ira's already got his vaccines in. He's going to be schmoozing. He's going to be eating food off people's plates. We're going to be there early. It's going to be a blast. Maybe we'll even get Lee out there early. Lee, you could. I'm thinking you could probably easily come out from like 6 to 9, and if you wanted to get home by the time the Bucks pick, won't be till like midnight or something.
We got to. We got temper pressing the flesh out there, Stevie.
Pressing the flesh. But fun times ahead, Ira, and I just wanted to bring that up there. Big Storm Beer, official beer of the podcast. Ira, it's time for me to send you some beer to your house since you now live in the garage. I think that might come a little more in handy. Sage, here's the story, if you didn't see it. Ira,
can I say something about Sue real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Ira, I was always impressed when the Bucks got Sue I think it was the first practice I watched when Sue was a member of the Bucks, and I saw how Will Goldston was enamored with it. Like, you could see Sue was telling Will Goldston to do this, to do, you know, he's instructing him. You know how players, when the way their hand gestures are and what they're doing, and if it's like a one-way conversation, you could tell they're getting coached up by a teammate. I saw that a lot in the very first practice I saw that Sue was with the Bucks. That Sue was coaching up Will Goldston. Obviously, Goldston had a very good year. He's been pretty good since Sue's come around. I think Sue might be a better teammate than we give him credit for. And there was another example I heard today. Vita Vea was on Good Morning Football. And yes, Kay Adams is back, by the way. Vea said, if not for Sue, he may not have been ready to play against the Packers. And he talked about when he got hurt, and everybody and their brother was talking about, you know, you're done for the year, you're done for the year. He said, Sue came up to him. He said, look, Aqib Talib had a pretty nasty injury the year we went to the Super Bowl with the Rams. And he busted his tail in rehab. Did everything the doctors told him to do, maybe more so. And he was able to play in the Super Bowl. And he basically told Villa, don't get down on yourself. Don't get depressed. Do everything the trainers tell you to do, maybe a little bit extra. If you get your fingers crossed, maybe you can come back in the playoffs. And Villa said if Sue wouldn't have told him that, he may not have been able to play against the Packers or in the Super Bowl.
You know, that's interesting you mentioned that, Lee. I got to make an admission on this podcast. You know,
sometimes you miss certain errors.
You get, a certain picture of a guy in your mind. I got to say that in the 2 years that Sue's been in Tampa, I've changed my opinion quite a bit about this guy, to the point, and here's where Izbitz comes in with guns blazing, to the point where I'm not sure the guy doesn't have a case for Canton. That's tall cotton. I understand it. But he was an all-decade player in the 2010s. He was, and he's still going strong. And, Steve, what did I know about Sue from afar? You know, he had a reputation, perception, might be a little bit of a dirty player, bouncing from team to team. He's a mercenary. Steve, I got to admit it. I've grown to really respect, you know, big number 93. He's a great fit in the locker room. He plays hard. He loves his role. He loves his teammates. The guy is a heck of a pickup, and I don't think the Bucks will want to let him go in any way. I would be surprised if Sue's not back, Steve.
Well, he had a hell of a season. Was sort of a bounce back season, really, just statistically anyway. And his impact was bigger and more steady, you know, and I believe he could get top dollar playing somewhere. There's got to be at least one more team that would like him, but hopefully he wants to stay. Sage, fun fact, Lee, fun little quiz. It's quiz time here on the Ira Kaufman podcast, because you brought something up and it made me think of it, Ira. Quick answers, guys. Who led the Buccaneers this year in quarterback hits? Who was the leader in quarterback hits?
Sue?
Well, I'll go with the standard Shaq Barrett.
Will Goldston led the team in quarterback hits with 20. Not the easiest answer. It was really almost a career year for Goldston in a lot of ways. And, you know, there's a depth piece that is critical to the team. He's a starter as well. You know, they've got so much depth all over the place. It is.
You know, Steve, that's another guy who has played better under this coaching staff, Will Goldston.
Yeah, he's made for a 3-4 defense, so it finally he got the fit that he was looking for when they drafted him. But that's how the Bucks are. You know, they drafted Noah Spence. He's really a 3-4 linebacker. We find out 2 years later, you know, this guy, that guy, when Mike Smith said this when he was eating pie and, you know, that kind of stuff. It's all very
Never the same, to be fair. Spence was never the same after he got hurt up in Minnesota when he blew his shoulder out the second time. He was never the same.
And he's back.
I believe he just got re-signed today.
Yeah, he's back with the Saints. He blew his knee out last year, and they're bringing him back. So
$1 million.
Yeah, on the cheap. Exactly. Kyle Rudolph was cut in Minnesota. Now,
right.
Kyle Rudolph very accomplished player, two-time Pro Bowler, good hands. He improved his blocking in recent years. Certainly Minnesota has been very much a run-first offense in recent years. And so it's not like he's coming from a place where he doesn't have to block or it's not a focus. Good football player, 31 years old, played 12 games last year and was very durable in previous years. He's not washed up, but they didn't want to pay him. It's a good example of the salary cap casualties that are happening around the league. And here the Bucs sit with Cameron Brate due $6.5 million, and O.J. Howard's coming back from an injury. He's due $6 million, and who knows if his Achilles is any good. And you got Gronk. Does Gronk have leverage? Does he have no leverage? He's a top 10 tight end in a lot of statistics, and he was making $9 million last year. But I think Rudolph sitting out there is a really good example of the kind of player that the Bucs might be able to consider on a one-year deal when next year the salary cap is going to go way up or should go way up. It's just an interesting name out there. What do you think?
Much would depend maybe on what it would take to sign Rudolph. I don't know what he'd be looking for. You know, that's not a million-point-five player. He is a veteran. I mean, you know, look, guys, come on. Tight end's a position of strength for this football team. We all know that. Somebody's going to scoop up Kyle Rudolph and consider him their number one tight end. If he comes in, Gronk's not going anywhere, Lee. He's not going anywhere. Brady's here. Gronk's here. He's not going to take a back seat and just block. Brady's not going to allow that. So, Steve, you know, it's all fantasy right now, and every time somebody hits the free agent market, Buck fans are going to go wild. Let's get that guy. Let's go get that guy. And Lee, that's just not going to happen. The Bucks are going to be very strategic in terms of acquiring other teams' free agents, and it's mostly going to fill the gaps of guys that they lose. Gronk's not going anywhere, Lee.
What do you guys, and I tend to agree with that, but what do you guys make of that cryptic video that Gronk put out last week where he said, hey, you know, enough of the celebrating, enough about Super Bowl 55. I got to get back to the grind, and it's like I got to get ready for Super Bowl 56, go Bucks. He never said he was going to sign. He just said, I got to get ready, go Bucks.
I can't ever imagine him playing for another team while Brady's the quarterback of the Bucks, Lee. I can't imagine that. You know, I wouldn't read too much into anything that Gronkowski puts out because, you know, he probably put the beer bottle down before he hit Twitter. I don't think Buck fans are too worried about Gronkowski coming back, Steve.
I got to share this for the people who didn't read it at joebucksfan.com because it's just a great story. Just the visual of it is so – it's funny, it's telling, and it's an instant classic. And you probably didn't read it, Ira, but so that's another reason I'll put it out here. But
that's kind of a nasty aside right there, Isbitt. It's a little nasty.
No nasty at all. Ira, so I told you that Larry Foote, outside linebackers coach, was on the podcast, and he told a great story that late in the game, 5 minutes left, JPP is off the field.
Which game?
Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah, game is completely out of reach. Well, not completely, but you know what I'm saying. Pretty well out of reach. And Cam Gill, backup outside linebacker, comes in. And JPP's out. Sue's out. Sue is in. Vea's out, whatever. Gill rushes the passer. Lines up on the left, but he loops around a little bit. And he and Sue sack Patrick Mahomes, and Gill forces a fumble. Big play for a young player, doesn't play very much. And JPP on the sideline, standing next to Larry Foote, after Cam Gill gets a half sack and a forced fumble in the Super Bowl, JPP slams his Gatorade bottle on the ground and sprints in and substitutes for Gill because JPP didn't want the guy getting, you know, too many, you know, he doesn't want anybody getting snaps that he should get. And certainly the guy stood out. He doesn't want him taking his job.
Boy, if that doesn't tell you everything you want to know about JPP.
And to, you know, the kicker, here's the kicker, guys. Cam Gill runs out and barks at Larry Foote and says, what are you doing? I just got a sack and a forced fumble. I got one snap. And he's like, I didn't sub for you. JPP just ran in and pulled you out of the game.
You know, he's on the edge. Lee, he plays on the edge. He thinks about on the edge. That's just him. He's got a book in him. And when he writes it, I'd love to ghostwrite it, but when he writes it, I'll read it because it'll be one hell of a read, Lee. And, you know, it shows, and somebody told me this the other day, and you don't even think about this, but even great players, Lee, even great players are insecure, a lot of them. They're insecure.
Yeah, that's interesting, yeah.
And, you know, Derek Brooks, you know, doing that podcast, The Identity Tampa 2 with Derek every week. I get to talk to him before the show, after the show. And I've heard him say many times, Lee, that in practice, Buck training camp, he didn't want to come off the field, Derek. And he said that every year he went to training camp, he was worried that somebody was going to take his job. Now, Lee, when you hear that usually from somebody of Brooks's stature, you don't believe it. You know, that's hyperbole. It sounds good. But I'm not sure that was a fib from Brooks's standpoint. And it wouldn't shock me if JPP is thinking like that, Lee.
Could be. I mean, the guy's got a heart of a warrior. To come back after blowing up your hand and then breaking your neck. I don't know if you saw this, Ira, but Sue did an hour-long interview with Shannon Sharp. And it's actually an hour and 15 minutes. And in that interview, Sue said he goes to JPP and he goes, I love the guy to death. He goes, but I went up to him and said, you need to be in a bubble in the off season. Put yourself in a bubble. We'll come get you when the practice starts. Just put yourself in a bubble.
he likes life in the fast lane, Steve. He does. But, you know, when the game starts, Steve, he's all business. No doubt about that.
Well, Ira, you know, I remember back in your Tribune days, you know, once in a while, Roy Cummings would do a TV interview on Channel 8, and you would slam down your Reuben sandwich, and you'd run right into the camera and get Dan Lucas to put you on the air the next Sunday. So it's the same kind of warrior mentality, Ira.
Nobody puts Kaufman in the corner over there, Stevie. Nobody.
Well, obviously I'm making that up because you would never throw a sandwich away. So that was a fiction from beginning. To begin
up
with.
Up until you were accurate, right up until that point.
All right. Listen, Ira, your podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. That's where you shop. And Ira now lives in his 2020 Cherry Red Ford Escape, which is pretty exciting. And remember your first call, any sort of problem at your home, anyone, anywhere, Florida's Elite Restoration. Sage, we're going to talk to you later in the week. And hopefully we're going to have a Buccaneer sign. But how about this, Ira? I'll let you close on this. Lee, you can weigh in as well, and then we'll get the hell out of here. Do you think we get a Buccaneer to sign on the dotted line by Saturday night of this week? And who do you think might be the first domino to fall in this this parade of Bucs re-signings that we hope is going to happen?
I think we do because, Lee, I think Arians is getting a little antsy. I think he's getting a little antsy, and he wants to know who the hell is coming back, and more importantly, who's not, and especially on defense, which is, you know, ironic, Lee, because we all know Arians' reputation is on the offensive side of the ball, but he seems to obsess about keeping that defense intact, Lee. He says it all the time. And I think he's being honest about it. It certainly was the priority last year. Lee, I think we're going to have something. And if I had to predict, Lee, I'm going to say Shaq Barrett gets a multi-year deal and gets his money. And with that domino falling, it sets the stage for other stuff to follow.
Whoa, you think Rosenhaus is actually, I would think if Rosenhaus doesn't have his client test the market, that Light's got to knock him over with a 2x4 to the head with a contract. Maybe overpay him.
Maybe the Bucks have to overpay him a little bit. Maybe they do.
Because I'm thinking we won't hear anything only because the agents will want their players to at least test the market. they may not want their clients to leave the Bucks, but they want them to test the market in case, you know, there's two or three offers that you know, they could use as leverage against Light.
Well, Lee, in the case of Shaq Barrett, I think that's a very dangerous strategy for the Bucks.
Yeah, I agree. Boy.
Well, March 9th is the franchise tag deadline, so that's in the mix there. And, of course, March 15th is really the kickoff of free agency when that window opens where teams can officially negotiate. But, of course, they're all negotiating now behind the scenes, so it's all a big scam anyway. But the bottom line is hopefully something gets done. We don't know if Shaq wants to do, you know, how badly he wants to stay. And, you know, Rosenhaus is in the business to keep his clients happy. So maybe he will, you know, help Shaq in that way versus steering him toward the market to see how much money the Falcons will give him.
You know, Steve, you mentioned a couple of dates, but you didn't mention March 10th. March 10th is the big date, Steve. That is the day that the second Moderna shot goes into the arm of the Sage. That is followed up by the evening of March 10th when I'm throwing up and I got chills and I've got what I'm hearing is a quite regular lousy reaction to the second Moderna shot. I'll be back later this week, but more importantly next week to tell everybody how the injection went. You know, that night, I might be so sick that I might not be able to stomach a big storm Reuben. How do you like that, Steve?
Well, with that timetable you laid out, that means you'll be at Scores on April 1st on Dale Mabry, so that should be fun, Ira. All right, we're out of here.
I'm curious with Ira, real quick. I thought a more timely question would be, since free agency, the dinner bell rings on March 17th, which happens first? The Bucks sign Shaq Barrett, or Ira cleans his plate off of corned beef and cabbage?
You know, that's St. Patrick's Day, right, Billy? St. Patrick's Day. I might go for the shepherd's pie. Might be
not
shepherd's
bad.
Pie.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad. All right, boys, we'll talk later in the week.